recommendation of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry. So this morning we are having the DTIC to come and present to us, give us a briefing on what the department is doing in relation to the recommendation from the Judicial Commission of Inquiry led by Advocate Raymond Zon, the Chief Justice. I will at this stage then hand over to see the DG is here. I don't know if there's any executive members, the minister or the deputy minister. Over to you, DG, you'll indicate.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members of the committee. And Chair, for today, I will be leading the delegation. I've got with us the team from the DTIC. The work in the main, it's being done by our CPIC agency, whose responsibility, among others, is actually to register businesses and also maintain that register on behalf of the country, including who are the owners of those businesses. So Advocate Rolly Fola, who is the commissioner of the CIPC, is also on the call. Dr. Evelyn Masoja, who leads the corporate and consumer regulation branch, is also on the call, and of course our other team members who support this work. So Chair, I think without going into too much detail, because that's what Advocate Rory Fowler will do, we are indeed here to give feedback on the work that we have done. And as members are aware, that that report from the Zondo Commission on state capture has wide-ranging recommendations, and the DTIC has the responsibility to only deal with a second portion of those recommendations, and that portion actually resides in the work that we do on company registration, on ensuring that the people that are there as directors, as owners, are actually people that would be traceable. So going down to the natural person, beyond the legal person, which ordinarily many of the businesses are. So Advocate Rory Fowler will then take us into the work that we have done thus far, as far as that is concerned, and then give members a sense of what we have achieved to date. So I'll hand over, with your permission, to Advocate Rory, Chairperson, so that he can immediately take the committee through the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, DG. Over to you, Advocate Ola.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to yourself as well as to all the honorable members. And I sincerely thank you for the invitation to the briefing. I think the ADG has stated that the recommendations of the Zondo Commission were restrictive in the area for which the department will look at, as well as the entity, which is the CIPC, dealing with company registrations, but mainly dealing also as part of the recommendations, dealing with what we would refer to as delinquent directors. And that is the angle that we've been taking, and that is the investigations and enforcement action that we've been involved in. The part that I will deal with fully will be on two phases. One, we will look at the areas and the companies that have been implicated in the Zonda Commission and what we have been doing as far as working with other agencies to try and deal with those recommendations. And the second part will be around the area of amendments to legislation, which was a specific area that was mentioned at the Zonda Commission that requires further amendments and reflection in order for us to deal with those, what we would term as disqualified or delinquent directors. The ADG has also mentioned issues around a new area of law which came into force with the amendment to the regulations as well as the Act that deals with something called beneficial owners, the drilling down to the areas of understanding who ultimately are those receiving the benefits of a company. So we will look at that, and we will also be able to explain the work that we've been doing thus far. I think the presentation will be flighted by the committee secretary. Thank you. Next page. Next page. I think I've given the purpose. And that is basically the outline. We will look at the context and the map that we've, CIPC, have drawn up in order for us to analyze what is contained within the report, look at how do we deep dive into some of those companies, working together with the department or the private entities which have been implicated. We will look at also the recommendations of the law, and I will explain to you exactly what the changes and the implications of those changes are when we get to them. You can next page. So just to put in context, we at the CIPC, we went through the entire Zondo Commission report. The CIPC is a regulator of company law. Most people know us only to be the registrar of companies, but with the Companies Act amendments, which were done many, many years ago now, we were given some enforcement and regulatory powers. They're restrictive to company law and company maladministration matters, and therefore we play that particular role. So we had to pick up in the report areas of any company governance failures, and we try to tackle those particular areas dealing with those companies, any regulatory failures relating to the Companies Act. Most important to the work that we do was picked up, and we try to deal with it in terms of a compliance program when dealing with those particular companies. So we then made two streams. I made two streams within the CIPC. The one stream that dealt with matters relating to state-owned companies, which we would call in the public sector, under the majority of those companies will fall under the Department of Public Enterprises, and therefore I have a team working on those particular areas. And the second one is obviously the areas that where there were collusion aspects regarding the private sector. So private companies also came into the fray, and therefore we have those in a separate enforcement wing that deals with them. But but they work in a collaborative fashion, basically the exchange of information and data across them. Our regulatory role is to get greater compliance, most importantly to make sure that the companies that are implicated have compliance programs. I mean, basically went out and spoke to all of them. Number two is to bring those to book and disqualify only applicable directors that were implicated, and to make sure that we disqualify them in terms of the Companies Act, not to act as directors on companies, any companies going forward. You can change over to the next page. So the mandate of the CIPC when it deals with matters of regulation is basically to address regulation pertaining to the main areas that we deal with under the Zonda Commission. And those areas that we are dealing with is the issuing of what is called compliance notices. Is that when we see a governance failure or an allegation of a governance failure, we first investigate, and if it leads to substantive nature of that particular company, we then issue what is called a compliance notice. It is a corrective measure for companies to maintain their regulatory programs and to make sure that they apply with the law. And the second part is to supplying of data to law enforcement agencies. The CIPC, you must note that it's not a law enforcement agency. We don't have any law powers. We can't investigate fraud, for example, and theft and corruption. But what we can do is, in the full gamut of the attaining of data and information which we hold in our register, and which we, and we hold a lot, is that we can deep dive into some of that data and basically supply them to law enforcement agencies. So we work very closely with the special investigation units, supplying them with the data that we hold. So what we did was, in terms of our delinquency application role, and I mentioned that we've got two streams running, so I'll deal with the public stream first, is that we had a meeting a few months ago now in March 23 between ourselves and DPE, as well as law enforcement agencies, and to ascertain the companies that were contained within the DPE portfolio for which Zonder Commission had made certain findings. So we went into as a collective investigation grouping between ourselves, DPE and law enforcement, to look at how do we investigate and substantiate the report and recommendations and to obtain an independent investigator under the various sections. For us to do that, and remember, as I said, we're only dealing with one area here. So the SIU and the criminal aspect is not within our purview. So we had to look at how do we try and get those who have been implicated off the record, off the register, as it were. And the way that we do that is to disqualify them. We have something called a delinquency application, which must proceed to court. CIPC can't, we can't... on our own disqualify them. A competent court has to disqualify them because it is a wide-reaching aspect of a person's right to trade, for example. So the court has to make those particular findings. And we have those in other matters beyond the state capture, which we've done also in the past, and we continue to seek those particular applications going forward. So we have to look at all of this. And the one issue that came about in all of this, and the one challenge and the risk that we found out, is that the companies act as a bit of a deadline as to when these applications can be brought. It basically states that the action that was brought, that has brought about the application for delinquency, has to have happened within the last 2 years of the action and the acting of that particular director. And we all know that many of the areas that were contained and the actions that were contained within the state capture report was for action taken a long time ago. Okay? It's way beyond the 2 year period. So we had to look at means of how do we go beyond that. And that is the area that I will deal with last, because the Zondo Commission made a recommendation of the amendment to the Companies Act that dealt with this restrictive bar of 2 years. And therefore, we had to work closely with our DTIC colleagues. They are responsible for legislative amendments and policy, and basically which it has brought about an amendment to the Companies Act, which is before Parliament as we speak. So we had to remove them from a position of trust, which is one of the areas of bar within the Companies Act, which relates to delinquency. And therefore, we also had to make sure that the evidence that was gathered speaks to those particular removals. So we work very closely with these entities within the Ministry of Public Enterprises to supply the data. And therefore, we continue to exchange data, work with investigators, build up a body of evidence, and basically take these matters to court. But beyond that, the one area that we also play in, and I mentioned earlier, is that we try to improve on the regulatory and compliance landscape of particular covenants, those particular companies. We look at the governance aspects. We have asked them for governance programs. We've contacted the entirety of all those particular companies which have been mentioned. We've spoken to the company secretaries, if they have them. We've spoken to the executives of those particular companies, and basically to ascertain if they are working on improving the governance failures that were mentioned within the Zonder Commission. Glad to say that many of them have taken us very, very seriously. We have received a lot of positive feedback regarding those particular areas. We have held their hands when it comes to picking out the areas of failures, failure to have proper financial statements, for example, failure to follow the rules applicable to regulatory and governance meetings as contained within the Companies Act, failure to have a requisite director fiduciary duties in place, etc., etc. There's a multitude of areas contained within company law which speaks to that. And therefore, we play that particular role of making sure that they are able to improve going forward. Not a matter of only dealing with bringing those to book, but making sure that does not happen again, and basically put in place requisite committees, if they are applicable to the company, like a social and ethics committee, making sure that the audit committees are functioning in terms of their oversight role, and basically to bed down those governance areas and governance failures. You can move on to the next page. So there are specific legislative criteria before one can be disqualified in the Act, and we work with them in terms of that. But we must state that besides best efforts, it has been a bit slow as far as DPE is concerned. DPE states that they have quite a lot of difficulty looking into the various information and data that they require and the necessary evidence they require related to the entities which fall under their oversight. So despite that, we're continuously engaging with them. We have meetings on a monthly basis. We try to find some ways around how do we extract the necessary data, because it's quite a laborious task to disqualify a person and to put them before the court and put the evidence before the court, because as I said, it's wide-reaching powers, but it's also wide-reaching aspects of what will happen to this particular director once they are disqualified and therefore removed from a multitude of companies. It's not only the one that is contained within the Zonder Commission. Once you're disqualified in all the companies for which you are registered to be a director. To date, despite best efforts and trying to obtain a lot of information, the only one SOC, which is a state-owned company, that we managed to receive and submit the delinquency request is related to Eskom. DPE and Eskom, they continue to state that there is a lot of evidence which is still missing, which they cannot seem to obtain. But we're trying to find all means of trying to find ways around it together with the SIU. Another area that we looked at, another company we looked at for linguistic referral was through the SABC. That matter was within court. The SIU, the court found in favor of the SIU, and therefore we have taken the matter up in terms of making the applicable application submitted to court in order to disqualify the director, which was mentioned in that particular finding and in that in particular judgment. Can move on. Can move on to the next page. So what we've done is, as I've said, the second stream is to deal with the issue of the private sector entities. We also are pursuing those ones and pursuing the natural persons which form the basis of the governance failures in those particular companies. And we have therefore put together a multitude of companies for which we have contacted and basically have issued compliance notices regarding that. After our analysis of these particular matters, some matters we have closed because they have applied with what we've stated to them regarding the failures, and they've corrected those particular failures. Alternatively, there are other matters where the companies have gone into liquidation, or the companies, well, they just no longer exist, and we have to go by other means to try and find that out. Therefore, we are working very closely with many of the executives of these particular companies implicated, and we must say that many of them have taken our compliance notices as well as our communication to them on a serious note, knowing that we have to report on the matter, but also that we're working very closely with law enforcement agencies, and these will in many aspects lead to criminal charges being brought under those particular law enforcement agencies. Okay, move on. So to date, based on the complexity of the matters, also the complexity of evidence, because we have to build up a body of evidence in this area. Let's just say that we've referred one case based on some of the work that we've seen, referred it to criminal investigation. We've also issued compliance notices, and we prepared those for issuing. We've referred matters to the state attorney's office for proceedings against implicated directors. To date, those two directors are Yaka Kwenana. I think the matter was regarding the SABC matter and the matter regarding Mr. Edwin Sodi. The other matters which we've seen in the table which we prepared is regarding the issue of contacting them, making sure their compliance programs are up to date, seeking further evidence if they are required to provide us with those. If we have received them and they've corrected the action, we close those particular matters. And there are some matters which are still pending, and we are dealing with them under our regulatory and enforcement powers. Can we move on? So we continue to look at the entirety of those particular companies. As you can see, Chairperson, I'm not sure if you want me to go through every single one of them. There's quite a number of them as per the list. I think it's more for information sharing. I think the committee is quite more interested in the action that we've taken and the areas for which we're looking at and the amendments to law. I think that covers the entirety of the overarching recommendation of the Zondo Commission. But if you want me to go to every single one of them, I'm more than happy to do so. But the table is before the committee.
No, please do so.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So the first company we looked at was Skyships. We've sent them correspondence all the way back last year. They were happy to respond. We had back and forth with them regarding the areas of failure that which we saw. And if you want us to put in more detail as to what those failures are, I'm more than happy to provide the committee with additional report based on what they are. We thought we'll just put it at a higher level to say that we have contacted them. We have laid out what the failures were. We have received satisfactory responses to those particular failures, and we were happy that they have covered all areas in company law. So we closed that one. Second company was BidAir. We failed to find them. We looked. We can't seem to locate anybody who's responsible for that particular company, and we therefore had to close that particular investigation. BidAir Cargo. We've managed to receive them. They have responded to our investigations and our questions that we've posed to them. They have looked at correcting those. We were quite satisfied with that, and we closed those particular investigation. JM Aviation, we issued the first letters to them. We decided to continue with the investigations. We were not satisfied. They either failed to respond, or they responded inadequately to our notices to them. And we've now issued a compliance notice to the particular company. So a compliance notice basically states out what they need to fix. If they fail to fix those particular areas, we penalize them. We send the matter to the state attorney's office for a fine to impose against a particular company, which we've also done for previous companies under the Companies Act. We have a fine up to R1 million, and that will also lead to additional delinquency being brought against those particular directors which were involved in the company. We can move on. Next page. The next is Swissport, the handler of airports. We have given them a notice. They have either responded or responded inadequately. We did additional investigations under our complaint handling process, and we are issuing a compliance notice to them. As of the 6th of November, these documents are ready to be issued. They probably have been issued by now. PricewaterhouseCoopers, we sent them a notice to tell them that they have been implicated. We've received a response for them, very lengthy responses. They covered all the aspects contained in our letter to them. They took this very, very seriously. We have analyzed it with our investigation team. We've seen that they have concluded and responded to all the matters contained within our letter to them, and we have closed the matter based on the fact that they've done corrective action. Inkunki, it no longer exists. The company has been liquidated. No further action will be taken against that. Airships, it's a state-owned company. they have failed to comply. We thought they were a private company, but indeed they are a state-owned company. We have checked on their responses to us. We are basically unsatisfied with the responses given, and we will be issuing a compliance notice to them once we've completed further investigation of the matter. Airbus South Africa, they responded to us satisfactorily once we've sent them a letter, and we have closed the matter. Homix, the company has failed to respond. Despite us giving reminders and letters to them, we have issued a compliance notice to them. Failure to respond, as I've stated, requires a fining as well as delinquency of those particular directors mentioned thereat. I can move on. The company called Albert Time. We can't seem to find them. And this was also Zonder Commission also halted them, and there was no finding against them within the commission. Zunzo Investments. This particular company is that the director had corrective action. One of the directors took responsibility after the Zonder Commission completed what it needed to do. The investigation was stopped by the Zonder, and therefore the director had cooperated, and basically no action is required from this particular company. Glencore, positive response received from the company regarding our letter to them. They have corrected all the particular aspects of what we wanted from them after our investigation, and we closed that particular matter. Glencore Holdings is similar to the one above. It's a group of companies, therefore they're forwarding the same ambit of that investigation. EIH Holdings. And there was no findings of wrongdoing by the Zonder Commission, and the Zonder Commission was satisfied with the corrective action taken by them, and therefore there's no investigation to continue with us. Blackett Consulting, Mr. Edwin Sodi, I did mention to him that we are taking up in terms of delinquency application, and he's also facing criminal charges. We work with the SIU as far as this is concerned to supply them with the information that we have on our register. You can move on. So those are the matters that we're dealing with. You can see some of them are still being investigated. We've issued some compliance notices to others, and we will definitely be following up regarding that. We've appointed counsel in certain matters for Sport, JM Aviation and Homex. We have appointed senior counsel to continue with dealing with the matters before court. And basically, in due time, those matters will be enrolled, and basically the applications will be dealt with before a competent court. The matter of Ms. Kwanana, we've handed over to the State Attorney's Office, also to deal with the issue of a delinquency application. Ms. Kwanana was removed as a chartered accountant by SICA. And we are now busy with the senior counsel to enroll the matter. So I should mention at this point, Chairperson, we also work closely with the IRBA, the Independent Regulatory Board for Auditors, if particular directors are also members of that professional body. Because the one way that we sometimes also get around the two-year bar is that one of the areas in law and in the Companies Act states that if you are removed from a position of trust, the two-year period will run from the removal, because that is, will be the nature of the application that we will bring for the delinquency. So if the implicated directors are members of a professional body, and those professional bodies has brought in any form of disciplinary action and findings against them, or if they've been removed from the register of those professional bodies, we will use that information as part of our application to bring to court to disqualify those particular directors. One, you can move on. This is the area that was being dealt with by the department. Happy to say that in terms of the recommendation of the Zonder Commission, this was taken up by the DTIC, an amendment to Section 162, which is the bar period for the application to be brought within 2 years. What has now happened is that the amendment has been put before Parliament. It is currently before the Portfolio Committee. from the latest public comment and the latest deliberations within Parliament, we've seen no negative public comments relating to the extending of the period from 2 years to 5 years. That this will certainly help when it comes to how we bring delinquency applications before court by the CIPC, but also the amendment dealt with the fact that the court has far-reaching powers to even extend the period, even though the amendment will state 5 years on good cause shown and the application being brought to court, a company's extension of the of investigation, the court may pronounce that it can go beyond the 5 year period if the action was taken prior to that particular period. So we're quite happy with that. I'm quite happy with the fact that the bills is moving quite swiftly along. We work very closely with the Standing Advisory Committee on Company Law when we deal with matters of how do we take this particular recommendation forward. And we're quite pleased with the fact that we'll have far more wide-reaching powers and no bar on us to bring additional disqualifications going forward. Chairperson, the recommendations of the Zondo Commission were only those which are applicable to the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, and by its nature of being company law, applicable to the CIPC, and therefore we believe that we are handling those particular matters and we are dealing with the amendment to law currently. And that's it from me, Chair. I'm happy to take any questions if there are any. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the presentation, Advocate. Honourable members, I will now give the opportunity to members to ask questions on the report. I'll take hands. Any hands? Or was the report very clear? Honourable Maymark.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to engage patients. The first is to appreciate the work from the representatives from the department, Mr. Fola, in terms of giving us an update in terms of the work that has been done by the department and also the CPIC in relation to the task emanating from the Zondo Commission. It gives confidence in terms of the message that we have to send as Parliament to say we're able to hold the executive to account in terms of what are areas of weaknesses that were lifted from the Commission, but also guidance in relation to opportunities that are there in terms of Section 152 of the Companies Act. The first question, Chair, that I want to ask, but you might find that some of the questions probably the best department necessarily will not be the Department of Trade and Industry, but the Department of Public Enterprise. But it will be important just to get a sense in terms of is there any interaction that is taking place between the Department of Trade and Industry and the DPME in relation to some of the directors, whether it is from Alexco, whether it is from Transnet, whether it is from Denel, whether it is from Eskom, those directors, because the message from some of the questions and responses by the ministers in relation to parliamentary engagement will indicate that there is work that is taking place between themselves, but with the Minister of Public Enterprise in consultation with the CIPC and law enforcement agency. But my question will be only confined to what the Minister of Public Enterprise said when he appeared in Parliament to say they are in consultation with the CIPC in relation to the anticipated action launched around director delinquency proceedings. So just an update in relation to that, whether can the department just give us a sense in terms of the work that is being done. The second one, Chair, will relate to from especially state-owned enterprises, what is their attitude towards this CIPC work? Are they giving CIPC cooperation in terms of these delinquency proceedings that is anticipated? And then the third one will be the issue of the GMB aviation because I think from the presentation that you gave it's quite important to get a sense in terms of the proceedings. I think it was indicated that the work of those board members in relation to the SAA was quite telling, and the amount involved is quite exorbitant. And as a result thereof, then we take comfort from your presentation around the work that is done around JM Aviation South Africa, the work around Transport South Africa, and whether in terms of the interaction that we have with the state attorney around adjudication in relation to failure by these companies to comply with the CIPC compliance notice. Can we with confidence say that ultimately we will be able to derive benefit from this Swissport South Africa, GM Aviation, and also Hermes? Because it's quite important that ultimately this process are prioritized and are finalized. Other than that, I'm happy, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Maima. You'll be followed by Honorable Tim Pretset. Honorable Tim.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Mr. Voller, for your presentation to us this morning. Look, Chairperson, some of the members of the committee may or may not be aware, but my background is forensic financial investigation, and so I look at this with that cap on my head. And, you know, effectively, when you look at state capture and the report presented this morning, we are looking at a tiny piece of the puzzle. And I'm sure Mr. Voller will agree that piece of the puzzle expands out into a huge spider web. Sometimes I've been involved in investigations of spider webs where you could literally cover a 6-meter wall by 3 meters with the spider web. And I see the smile in his face. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. So what I would like to know, if first of all, Mr. Voller made the offer to provide us with the list of infractions by the companies. I understand that he was giving us a high-level presentation this morning, and I understand that. But I think it's essential for us as a committee to understand what those companies were involved in, because it could be something as simple as not having a relevant tax certificate. Or it could be something a lot worse. So, you know, to have a very high level overview is great for now, but I think it's important for us to know what were the infractions and then what action the CIPC took with the relevant authorities, not only SIU, because SIU obviously has to be a result of a presidential proclamation, but if there was a presidential proclamation, post that proclamation, what was the interaction? And also the National Prosecuting Authority, the Hawks, on those various issues. Because that will show us a consequence. There was this infraction. This infraction perhaps cannot be remedied. Okay? An issue like a tax certificate can be remedied. But there might be an offense which is so egregious that it can only be remedied by going down the road of police investigation, NPA, and then the judiciary. It can't just be fixed. It's not just a matter of not submitting your returns on time or whatever the case may be. And then an idea of the CIPC involvement in linking certain individuals to officials, because we all know from state capture that you get a corruptor and a corruptee. And those, in my experience, are interchangeable. It's not always just business that corrupts state officials. State officials sometimes also introduce businesses into, you know, the field of corruption and what is required to get contracts. So I think we need to be able to get an idea, a picture of whatever the CIPC have done in terms of the actual infractions, what action they've taken per infraction. Then we can have a look at it and say, well, CIPC, thank you. You've done a great job. Or CIPC, you know what? I think you should have actually taken that a bit further, because that's an infraction of the Public Finance Management Act or whichever act might be in play. So if Mr. Voller can perhaps give us a more, maybe comment on what I've said, but also maybe just provide a more in-depth report so that we can have a proper look at it from a forensic point of view, and satisfy ourselves that every action has been taken in line with the recommendations of the Zondo Commission to follow through with these things. We cannot be involved in a box-ticking exercise, Chair, where we just say, well, we've ticked that box. We've got to make sure that the persons responsible for state capture are held to account. And that includes state officials. It includes business people. I always said during my days in SCOPA that corruption is a game that all South Africans play, regardless of demographic, regardless of status, regardless of anything. We're all in, all South Africans seem to be involved in it. And so we need to make sure that there's a consequent move there. Otherwise, we will never get rid of the scourge of corruption. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Professor. I was a bit worried when you were not raising your hand, given my understanding of your role in the SCOPA. That you have decided to ask questions. Are there any other members who'd like to ask questions in the report?
Mkava, Chair.
Sorry, Honorable Lansman?
Mkava, Chair.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Honorable Lansman. Perhaps just to follow up on the issues that are raised by Honorable Brotter said, firstly, I agree with him that we need a detail in terms of that template that is at a high level for now. But also in that information that will be provided to us, the names of the directors that are being pursued. So far, there are only two that have been mentioned. Sodi, Quinana, I don't know who else. If we could get names of others who at SABC, for example, is being pursued in terms of the company's act on delinquency, yes, as well as others. Perhaps I'm also a bit worried about companies that you say you can't find them. I don't know what other attempts you've made, because those should have been registered with CIPC in the first place, with their details, you know, and perhaps also, I'm sure those companies were perhaps also paying tax. I'm sure SARS would also have their details. So I'm a bit worried that you have the companies that have disappeared. But also the Ngonki, the company itself, the fact that it is liquidated, I don't know what action is taken against the directors of what if they open another company under a different name, but it will be the same directors. What sort of action will you be taking as a CPIC? But also with the EOH, I know that you said that there was no finding from the Zondo Commission, but it was widely published that even the current CEO confirmed that the shenanigans that were happening there, corruption that was taking place. Understand that from the analysis of our content advisor that some of the corrupt directors left the company and went on to establish their own companies that are in direct competition with the EOH. I don't know whether those directors were not scrutinized by the CIPC before their companies were then registered. But also, given that some appear before the commission, some companies, but even if there is no finding by the Zondo Commission, do you leave it at that, or you play your own role in pursuing those companies? Because the fact that they're not been found, there are no findings by the, I don't think it then absolves you from further investigating those companies, in my view. Yeah, but also, I don't know, there seems to be some delays in your interaction with the DPE. I don't know, maybe already as you were indicating that these amendments are already now with the portfolio committee. I don't know if there's no possibility, maybe in future, maybe it may not be on these amendments, so that you are just given more powers to directly investigate rather than depending on the cooperation of the entities like DPE, for example. What if these delays are deliberate on the part of the DPE? But the fact that now you rely on them for the investigation, you can't directly on your own conduct the investigation. I don't know if you should then be given more powers in that regard, so that on your own you can directly investigate. Yeah, basically those are for me. Those issues, but we do appreciate the report, but it will be further appreciated if we could get some better details, finer details on some of the areas, such as the template that you've provided for us. Thank you so much, Mr. Ebola. Over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you to the members for those questions. I think I'll answer the first.
Chair, before Mr. Fola.
No, just before that,
The issue of FASA and the companies that were also doing some work there, but also the silence thereof also is an area that was worrying me. Maybe just to check as to whether from Mustafa, is there no work that they did with FASA it's more of critical to us also because PRADA is one of the entities that our sister committee is dealing with. So we'll be more interested to know that the work that is done in relation to those companies that were mentioned during the Zondo Commission with PRASA and the directors. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, for those questions. Let me deal with the overarching question. I think it came up through all the questions posed to me, was the provision of additional information. Yes, we will certainly provide the meat on some of the matters to the committee secretary. My investigation team has the details with them, and in the coming days, we will just put it all together and basically supply it to yourselves in the coming days. On the question from Honourable Momang, I think he asked a question about what is our relationship and how are we working closely with DPE and who are we investigating? I would just like to say that we're investigating all of the entities that are that fall within DPE. It's Transnet, SAA, you name them. It's all of them. All right. I didn't mention them, but we can mention them in the additional report that we will provide. I thought I'd just put it under the umbrella of DPE because I think the, almost all of them were mentioned in the Zondo Commission. So I think it was all-encompassing that the DPE entities fall within our cross-functional investigation team between ourselves, SIU and CIPC, and basically are dealing with all of them. So if you mention aspects of SOCs under that umbrella, they are certainly included in there. The cross-functional team, it works very, very well. We meet very regularly with them. But just to pick on the point that was made by the chairperson, that I'm not sure if DPE sometimes is cannot find the information and not forthcoming. I don't want to read too much into it, but we also as a CIPC get a little bit frustrated with the speed in which some of these matters and the information that needs to be provided to us is given. We have counsel at the ready to take on many of the matters to court in terms of disqualifications, because once again, I must reiterate the point, Chair, and I think the ADG also mentioned the point that our powers are only in certain areas contained within the company law. We don't have any powers in criminality, right? There's matters of fraud, matters of corruption, matters of theft. CIPC can't investigate any of those. We can help with providing of information about those companies, but it's a law enforcement matter. Our jurisdiction does not go that far. But we certainly work very closely with those entities in order to provide, information from them, whereby we can take the application to court. And we have done it on a few bases. We should be doing more. I can't stress that point even further, that we should be doing more and we should be doing it quicker. But there is a reliance there. We meet with them and we state to them that there's a lot of not only public pressure but parliamentary pressure for these matters to be taken further, and we basically wait on them to provide us with that. But they seem to be willing to assist. They do have their own challenges. I believe some of the documents are just not there, which we request. We do an analysis of the documents, because the one thing that we don't want to do, Chair, and this is the risk that we put in our process, is that we don't want to be seen wanting when these matters go to court. Remember, the court is totally independent, and I don't care if there's public pressure or any other pressure. They will look at it from a basis of, does the evidence speak to the fact that disqualification or else other compliance failures are contained within the documents which are provided to the court? So we have to be prudent, but also we have to be thorough in the sense of us receiving that information and working closely with our counterparty within the government sphere. So that also speaks to the question posed by Honourable Moimeng when he spoke to us about the good working relationship. Yes, there actually is one. JM Aviation, I think I did mention, is that the compliance notices have been issued. We will be taking that up with counsel. We will be placing that matter before court. We need to find them. We need to disqualify them. And therefore, that is one of the matters that has been handed over to our legal advisors in order for them to ultimately pursue those matters in earnest. So I give you my assurance that that has been done. Regarding the Honourable Broadset, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you hit the nail on the head when you spoke about the issue about forensics, right? The area for which we're looking at, and going again to the nature of our jurisdiction, it speaks to the heart of many company law failures, right, and governance failures. And that ultimately is a small part of the unraveling of what occurred within the state capture investigation. So you're 100% right. They failed to submit financials. They failed to make an application to submit an annual return on an annual basis. They failed to amend the register. All of those are company law-related failures, right? But it does not speak to the heart of financial forensic analysis and financial failures, and as well as putting the dots together as to the ultimate aspect of what actually occurred, right? It's one part of that particular puzzle. And I think that the forensics, corruption and procurement matter and supply chain failures, those are the aspects that require to be further analyzed and through the SIU process and the analysts that they have, okay? We have, to a certain extent, investigators who have accounting and financial background. They look at some of the financial reports, they look at the financial statements, and they try and provide some of that information, as I said, in terms of data exchange and information exchange. We supply those to the law enforcement agencies. But once again, it's one small aspect of it, right? It requires additional analysis by forensics. And we don't do forensics. That is within the competency of law enforcement. We are basically a supplier of information and a delinquency application, a body that will take those matters up. So that is the mandate for which we work, and that is within our legal purview to follow those up. So criminal offences is what we try and assist with in providing of information, but ultimately law enforcement is required to take that up. The other question you asked is about this linking, and that's a very, very pertinent question, and I'm glad you asked that question, is that one of the areas that we also look at is that we try and build these puzzles. We've got a program at the CIPC called XBRL. It stands for Extendable Business Reporting Language. It gives us the ability to mine the data. So what we've also done is we've linked auditors, right, and we've supplied some of the information to IRBA. We tried to link company secretaries. We tried to link advisors to try and see, look, out of these companies, we're seeing these same names all the time in the background. We're seeing that these seem to be collusionary measures between certain individuals. So we have the power to map that out, and the teams are doing exactly that. Try to bed it down and try to mine it down to those within the public sector. If their names are not mentioned within public documents, it's slightly more difficult. Doesn't mean it's not impossible, but it will take further analysis for us to drill it down. But just to give you the assurance that we are not only looking at the faces and the names that were mentioned within the Zondo Commission, we're trying to drill it down to those who advised them. We try to drill it down to those who were the auditors in these matters. We try to drill it down to those who were the accountants in these matters, because we believe that it was a whole gamut of responsibility and a whole gamut of failure that is required for us to analyze and to be made known as far as the investigations is concerned. So I can give you that assurance that we are certainly doing that. We're not just doing it on a cursory level, but there is a lot of data analysis and data screening and mining of the data which is occurring. The names of the directors, I think that speaks to the report that we will provide to you by my investigation team that we will provide to the committee secretary. Regarding the questions that were asked by yourself, Chair, regarding companies that disappeared, once again, it is slightly difficult. Remember, once you have been liquidated on the CIPC register, or we have your names and stuff, but you can disappear. We don't know where you are. We might have to require the use of tracing agents, similar to a court matter, where a person who is a respondent in a court case suddenly just disappears. You can't find him. We're going to have to get sheriffs involved and tracing agents involved to try and get to the heart of finding out who they are. And therefore, we will pursue that as per committee recommendations. So I think I've answered all the questions in a nutshell. I think the Honourable Moimang was overarching about the fact that we need to work collaboratively. We need to understand that under the DPE, there is a lot of other companies. Are we pursuing them? Yes, we are pursuing them. And basically, we will provide the committee with the report as to all the matters and all the names that are currently within our investigation powers. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you. I think in particular from Honourable Moimang Prasa, if maybe we can be specific on that one. Yeah.
No, absolutely. We'll supply all the names under the state-owned company investigations that are currently ongoing.
Thank you so much. Follow-up question from Honourable Tim Bratherford. Over to you, Honourable Tim.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you. I don't know if it's Mr. Fuller or Mr. Voller. I'm making assumptions there. But anyway,
Voller, yeah.
Okay, Mr. Voller, yeah. Look, I think what, you know, I understand that your role is circumscribed and you can't go outside of your jurisdiction. But what you can tell us as a committee is where you have requested, I think in relation to the full report you're going to send us, it would be very useful to us as a committee so that we can follow through on our role, which is to hold the executive to account, is where you say, look, we have asked a particular entity for assistance. We've asked a particular entity to follow up on information that we've picked up. Our investigation from their general sense, their general gut feel that something's not right here. Can somebody follow up on this? Just to let us know what the consequent action was as a result of that. So if we can pick up a failure in follow through, we can then either by calling that entity, if it falls under our select portfolio ambit, we can call them to this committee to account, or individual members can obviously pose written parliamentary questions to the relevant minister and say, you know, why was there no follow through on the following cases? So it's not a matter of you dropping anybody in the drain, but I think we need to get past that point. Where you've asked for assistance, where you've asked for cooperation, it hasn't been forthcoming, then our job as the arm of government or the arm of our democracy that holds the executive account, we can follow through on your behalf and say, look, why has there been no such action? And perhaps that action will jolt some sort of action into place and we can move forward further down this road. So if your report, with the permission of the chairperson, could include that level of detail, then we can take it further. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honourable Professor. Perhaps in addition to that, we could even have a joint committee meeting with another committee that is responsible, for example, NPA. If there are some delays with the NPA, for example, we can have a joint meeting with the select committee on security. So that we both as committee probe further what are the delays all about. We have invited this committee before DPE. The minister himself came and it was on something else. But we do have those right and powers to invite any executives to this committee or any other committee, or we could even do it jointly. Maybe if you would like to respond, Mr. Bola, on point.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. It's a simple response, 100%. We will definitely put in our report if we have entities or departments that have failed to respond adequately to what we've requested, and we will certainly make that known to the committee as part of what we will supply them.
All right. No, thank you so much. We'll also make some follow-up in terms of the updates from time to time. We'll be inviting the department and the CIPC to come and update us on the investigation work that
and resubmit back to you, we will do that. And I do hope that with this presentation, we have indicated our absolute responsibility to make sure that all those recommendations that pertain to the mandate of the department are going to be implemented, and that we are pursuing all the necessary avenues that we must pursue in law in order to make sure that those who one way or the other were highlighted in that report as needing to be taken to task, that we are doing that, and we are doing it without any fear, any favor, and without any prejudice to anybody. I just want to also highlight, Chair, that as Advocate Rory Fowler indicated, we have to work within the confines of the law, and our mandate is very specific and quite limiting. But as I had indicated to the committee, that for us, we are pursuing all that we possibly can do within the confines of what we are allowed to do to make sure that the responsible people are brought to book. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DG, and the team for the briefing to the committee. We will do our part as the committee in terms of processing the company's second amendment. And I know there are two Advocate Shamara educated me yesterday because I was asking why we have two amendments on the same act of the 2008 years. So we're looking forward. Provisionally, we have a date for the briefing, depending on what is happening then in the NA. We were made to understand that today the committee will be finalizing that company's amendment bill, and that it will be going to the House next week. And then we hope that the following week after that, we will be receiving a briefing from the department. And then we'll deal with the legislative processes as we understand them. Thank you very much, DG and the team. We will now release you so that we can deal with the internal committee matters. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Goodbye. Mr. Solomon, you'll indicate if we have the minutes of the 7 and 8 ready.
You see, Gucci, oh, sorry, if I can just...
Okay. These are the minutes of the 7th of November, honorable members. If you can scroll down, Mr. Bazia. We met with NEDLAC and its stakeholders. Thank you very much, Mr. Bazia. Honourable members, are there any corrections on the minutes of the 7th of November? If not, can I have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes of the 7th?
Landsman mover, Chair.
Oh, Honourable Landsman moving.
Honourable Mushodi seconded, Honourable Chairperson, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. I don't know if Honourable Moimang, we are going to say something on the correction of the minutes, or you were moving for the adoption.
No, it was just a move to second, Chair.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Minutes have been moved and seconded, Honourable Member.
All right.
Thank you very much. Let's now go to the minutes of the 14th of November. Move your cursor, Mr. Bazir. Thank you very much, Mr. Pazia. Now, members, are there any corrections? If not, can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes of the 14th of November? Any mover?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Mushodi, move for adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honourable Mushodi. Any seconder?
Seconding, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any counter motion? Not. So the minutes have been moved and seconded. An update, Honourable Members, as we indicated that the Management Committee was to take place on the matter of South African tourism. We have been informed now that the matter is being handled by the appropriate committee, which is the Portfolio Committee on Appropriation on the matter. So it was wrong for the Portfolio Committee to take the decision that it took. So we're informed that the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Appropriation dealing with the matter with the office of the speaker. So we decided that we will not be pursuing the matter any further now. We will let some state then get an update on what is happening with regard to that particular matter. Honorable Moimang, I see your hand.
Thank you, sir. Just a reminder to members that tomorrow we are starting at 10. Members of the Select Committee must be available at 10 tomorrow. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Mr. Roman, I don't know if there's any announcements. We spoke about reviewing our program for the committee to accommodate the briefing on the company's amendment. I don't know if there is any.
Yes, Chi. Chi, if you wanted to play the program, Chi?
Please.
Let me just share my screen, please. Chi, as you indicated, we received information from the portfolio committee on trade industry and competition that the committee is scheduled to finalize the company's amendment bill today, and it will be it will appear before the MA plenary next week by the 28th of November, which means it will by the time we have set a provisional date aside for the briefing by the DPIC and the company's amendment bill the 5th of December, those bills would have been referred to the NCLP. So that is the provisional date set aside. It will be confirmed once we receive the formal referral of the company's amendment bill, which is the 5th of December. Chair, there was also an issue with regards to next week, the 28th of November in the afternoon. If you just want to maybe comment on that before I go any further.
Okay. Honourable members, we were approached by the, in fact, I was approached by the minister. He wanted a follow-up meeting on AGOA now that the AGOA forum took place with the USA, which was here, and the African countries that are beneficiaries of the AGOA. So you would like to have a follow-up meeting because we are moving towards the end of the term, there we don't have the dates available, but we made aware that on Tuesday next week we won't be having a plenary session. So we are proposing that we have a meeting. If you remember, on the 28th, we'll be having a meeting to focus on the UIF and the compensation fund. So we suggest that we go ahead with that one in the morning, and then in the afternoon when we have this briefing by the minister on AGOA, we wish to also invite all the provinces, particularly the portfolio committees that are responsible for economic development or economic affairs, in the legislatures for next week on the 28th. So that is a proposal that we are putting forward to the meeting. I don't know if you want to make any other addition, Ms. Solomon.
Yes, Chi. Advocate Ali has just followed up with Chief Whip's office, and as it stands at the moment, the NCLP program remains unchanged. So as of yet, there has been no further changes to schedule of plenary next Tuesday. So that's often
the decision. So there will be no plenary.
As of now, it's still, there's still no plenary schedule for next Tuesday, Chi.
Yeah, thank you so much. Honourable members, your views on specifically on the AGOA and the presentation or briefing possible on the company's amendment bill. Your comments? We agree, honourable members, that we continue as proposed in the program with those additional items. Agrees? All right. Thank you so much. Any other view? So we will agree so that I'll take it as then the program in principle has been adopted pending what is happening the National Assembly, whether they will be able to pass the company's amendment bill. If not, then it will, we'll have to review our program again for that date of the 5th. If they are able to, for whatever reason, unable to pass it. Yeah. Thank you so much, honorable members. It was the shortest meeting. We are done. I think that, or are there any announcements, Ms. Solomon?
No, chief.
All right. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your attendance and the participation. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.